You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up tonight after 7, it is True Stories Told Live on the Moth Radio Hour. Tonight, a brand new doctor struggles working the night shift, a mailman joins Mr. Rogers' neighborhood, and a child spends her birthday at Coney Island in 1957. That's coming up tonight after 7 here on the Ideas Network.
First, amid a slew of executive orders and announcements this week, President Trump called for the government to launch an investigation into what he believes was widespread voter fraud in the 2016 presidential election.
He alleges that millions of votes were cast illegally in the election and that those fraudulent votes cost him the popular vote. This is a claim that has been debunked, but it has raised questions about whether or not voter fraud is a major issue, should be taken seriously in the United States.
Donathan Brown is with us. He's an associate professor in the Communication Studies Department at Ithaca College, and he's also a Fulbright recipient and author of Voting Rights Under Fire, The Continuing Struggle for People of Color. Donathan, welcome to Central Time.
Great. Thank you for having me.
Well, President Trump made the announcement this week that he would like to see an investigation into voter fraud, and he was asked about it on ABC World News Tonight host David Muir in his first interview after the inauguration. Here's a little bit of that conversation.
You have people that are registered who are dead, who are illegals, who are in two states. You have people registered in two states. They're registered in a New York and a New Jersey. They vote twice. There are millions of votes, in my opinion. Now, I'm going to do an investigation.
You're now president of the United States.
I want the voting process to be legitimate.
But what I'm asking, when you say, in your opinion, millions of illegal votes, that is something that is extremely fundamental to our functioning democracy, a fair and free election.
Sure.
You say you're going to launch an investigation
sure.
into this.
Done.
What you have presented so far has been debunked. It's been called false.
Take a look at the Pew reports.
I called the author of the Pew report last night, and he told me that they found no evidence
really?
Of voter
then
fraud.
Really? Then why did he write the report?
He said no evidence of voter
Excuse
fraud.
Excuse me. Then why did he write the report,
so
according to Pew report? Then he's groveling again. You know, I always talk about the reporters that grovel when they want to write something that you want to hear, but not necessarily millions of people want to hear or have to hear.
So you've launched an investigation.
We're going to launch an investigation to find out. And then the next time, and I will say this, of those votes cast, none of them come to me. None of them come to me. They would all be for the other side. None of them come to me. But when you look at the people that are registered, dead, illegal, and two states, and some cases maybe three states, we have a lot to look into.
And Donathan, a clip there between Donald Trump, President Trump, and ABC World News Tonight host David Muir. What do you hear in that clip we just
sure.
listened to?
Sure. Well, there's a series of things that we see initially Sean Spicer mentioned that Donald Trump repeated. And this is kind of boils down to at least a couple of things. One is that there's a 2008 Pew study showing that 14% of people who voted were non-citizens. First, there is no study that shows 14% of the votes cast in 2008 were cast by non-citizens. That would have had to be in the area of 18 million fraudulent votes. Second, the 2008 Pew study that Sean Spicer mentioned that Trump repeated was actually published in 2012 and makes zero mention of non-citizen voting or even registering to vote. In fact, the report is entitled Inaccurate, Costly, and Inefficient, Evidence That America's Voting Registration System Needs an Upgrade. And for us, this report is about record keeping and nothing about fraud. So when we consider the totality of the situation and going back to the author of the Pew report, which was interviewed on CNN, this simply is another claim without merit.
So when we talk about voter fraud, what exactly does that term refer to? What action?
Well, oftentimes when you hear the term voter fraud, it is, as Trump mentioned, individuals who are casting more than one ballot. So you vote in one municipality or one state and you cross the border or line into another state or another municipality and vote again. And this is what typically nowadays is what oftentimes referred to as voting twice / voter fraud.
And when you're talking about some of these other things you said, people who may have passed away, be dead, they may still be on the voting rolls. people who are registered in two states. So you're saying this is more about the voting rolls and the currency of them as opposed to the act of fraud. Is that right?
Yeah. So what, you know, what I'm taking away from a lot of this is that when we talk about voter registration versus voter fraud, we're making two huge leaps without any sort of evidence. So, for instance, I think Trump is correct in that we should look more into accurate voter registration rolls. However, to take that claim on registration rolls and somehow inflate it to millions of people voting illegally, it's just something that has no merit to date.
Trump also, in that bit of interview we heard, he said that these votes, the fraudulent votes, they were all for the other side, presumptively Hillary Clinton he's talking about there. They were not for him. How does that strike you?
It strikes me in two levels. One is that how, without evidence, can anyone claim that these so-called illegal votes swung the election one way or the other? So, for instance, in that interview, Trump mentioned that none of these votes went to me. Well, how do we know? What evidence exists to even suggest that claim? And secondly, is the part that we hear often, is that individuals who commit voter fraud by means of voting twice typically vote for Democrats. Again, another claim without merit, but you can see the same echo chamber repeating itself.
We're talking with Donathan Brown right now from Ithaca College. He's also the author of Voting Rights Under Fire. And we're talking right now about Donald Trump's call for an investigation into what he believes was massive voter fraud in the 2016 presidential election. And Donathan, do you think that this the call of voter fraud by President Trump is a way to get at the issue of who won the popular vote?
Yeah, you know, what I'm thinking is that losing the popular vote to Hillary Clinton by nearly 3 million votes exposes him to questions over his political legitimacy, whether or not he really has a mandate from the people, for instance. As it stands now, we see that Donald Trump has the lowest first job approval rating, somewhere around 45%, according to Gallup, for any new president since Harry Truman in 1945, when the data was initially collected. Put another way, no one has entered the Oval Office with a lower approval rating since 1945 than Donald Trump. So when we hear continuous claims about Trump losing the popular vote due to illegal votes, in my opinion, in my mind, this is more so a question about political legitimacy and searching for a mandate from the people, more so than about fraud itself.
Now, looking at that, another issue that was brought up in that bit of interview we listened to, David Muir got at the fundamentals of democracy and legitimate elections. Now, people who agree with President Trump may say, well, we need to be assured that our elections are legitimate. This is an underpinning of democracy. And people who are critical of his claim of fraud might say, well, you're casting one of the bedrocks of democracy into doubt, and that may be dangerous. What do you think about that question?
Sure. I can see it in two different ways. First, I agree with the understanding that we need to be reassured as we are, and this is a funny idea about it, is that you hear the claim that we need to be reassured that the ballot box is protected. Well, it's worth mentioning that elections are administered at the local level, so there are reports produced by the states, by officials such as the Secretary of State, who, of course, certifies the election in the state, who, of course, looks into claims about voter fraud. Just recently, for instance, two Republican Secretaries of State in Louisiana and Ohio have come forth to say within the past 24 hours that upon addressing this claim, widespread voter fraud simply does not exist.
And in that, President Trump seems a bit isolated in what he is saying, alleging voter fraud between 3 and 5 million. Is there a contingent that agrees with him at this point?
It's interesting because when you take a look at recent comments, either by Paul Ryan, by Lindsey Graham, for instance, they all continue to dispute the president on this claim. The idea that we have 3 million, 5 million illegitimate votes, is beyond reconcile in the fact that when pushing for evidence, when asking questions, we're not finding much to go for. In the sense of this, one of the key questions that's come up time and time again is how common is voter fraud? And we can look at studies, for instance, a 2015 report from the Conservative Heritage Foundation found that less than 12 individual cases of non-citizens have been convicted of registering or actually voting since 2000. There are reports out of Arizona State University and others that continually find that voter fraud is virtually non-existent. So again, it's one of those stories that I'm interested to see how it plays out.
We're talking with Donathan Brown right now about President Trump's call for an investigation into what he believes was massive voter fraud in the 2016 presidential election. Donathan is an associate professor in the communications department at Ithaca College.
And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you think there should be an investigation into this allegation of massive voter fraud? What do you think about says about President Trump that he's calling for this investigation? While it's been pointed out there's no evidence for voter fraud at anywhere near that scale, what do you think could be gained? What do you make of this whole conversation that's going on this week? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll continue the conversation in just a bit here on Central Time. And we're talking with Donathan Brown. He's an associate professor in the Department of Communications at Ithaca College, and he's also the author of the book Voting Rights Under Fire, The Continuing Struggle for People of Color.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you make of the president's claim of widespread voter fraud? Do you think there needs to be an investigation? Would you like to see the president keep talking about this or move on to other things? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And we go to our callers now. We've got Doug on the line first in Stevens Point. Doug, hi.
Hi. Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
The quickest thing I was going to say was that the best lies use the truth. And I didn't know if he's looking into voter fraud from a specific angle that it should be something that's helping him. Is there anything that he may find in Wisconsin with the ideas of the voter registration tax that have happened in Wisconsin? Is it possible he could find something and then bury it, and then it couldn't be investigated later on because under his administration it's looked at once and there's some sort of double jeopardy sort of thing?
Doug, thank you for that call and some questions relating to Wisconsin there, Donathan. What sorts of things could this investigation yield and how could the findings be used?
Well, my opinion is that the investigation, however massive or grand scale it is, will find very little. And in doing so, it cannot be used to do much, considering the fact that 32 states now have some form of voter identification law requiring voters to produce proof, photographic proof, to verify their identity before casting a vote. So when I think about places like Wisconsin and other states that have voter identification laws, there's one piece of this puzzle I cannot necessarily answer, and that's simply the details surrounding the investigation to be announced, in the sense that how will this investigation take place, who will oversee it, amongst other details, are often, unfortunately, remain to be seen.
Thank you for that call, Doug. And we move next to Lori joining us in Altoona. Lori, hi.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for the show. I have two questions, and it sounds like one, the person on the show is having the same question as who will conduct the investigation and how will they ensure that both parties are being investigated.
Okay.
But my bigger question is who is going to pay for it specifically?
Okay, a couple good questions are from Lori. Lori, thanks for that. And Donathan, do you have a handle on sort of the who and the how is it going to be paid for?
I do not. Like the caller, I too have questions about the way or the manner in which this investigation will carry out. I'm not sure, like many people, how this will take place. So I guess we're all in this wait-and-see type of moment.
Have we ever seen a proposed investigation that actually proceeded on the scale that this could be. And we're talking about something that would be nationwide, 50 states. So that's a lot of ground to cover.
It is. It is. And we've seen different studies before. I mean, the way I look at it is that I cannot recall in recent memory a president going to this length on the issue of voter fraud. I mean, as I mentioned before, elections are administered at the local level, so there are reports produced by the states. For instance, you know, when we talk about the 2012 study, for instance, out of Arizona State University, they analyzed nearly 2,100 alleged election fraud cases since 2000 and concluded that voter fraud is virtually non-existent. As I mentioned, the 2015 Heritage Foundation report found that less than 12 individual cases of non-citizens convicted of registering or actually voting since 2000. When we look at Texas, between 2002 and 2014, of the 72 million votes that were cast in that 12-year period, 85 cases of possible fraud were flagged. Of those 85, only four stood the test of time for a conviction. So you have four convictions of 72 million. So you can see the math here doesn't necessarily support widespread voter fraud.
Lori, thanks again for that call and your kind words about the show. And we go next to Joy in Eau Claire. Joy, hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I find this issue to be one, just a major distraction to the other issues going on that are to me a little more important. But my other question is, how many people, because of the voter ID law, did not vote because of the new because of the photo IDs? How many votes did not get cast because of that law? And would he have possibly even lost the election had those people not been? I mean, how many more people voted when that wasn't a law?
Joy, thank you for the call. And Donathan, do we know how many people may not have voted due to voter ID laws?
There are estimates that exist, and they are simply that, estimates. I cannot give any concrete numbers to that simply because I do not know. The caller, I think, is absolutely correct that this goes to a question about harm with respect to voter identification laws. Who's left behind from voting as a result of such laws? If you take a look at Texas and North Carolina, for instance, recent court decisions paint the picture pretty well. In both instances, the court found in striking down both laws that, one, sufficient evidence existed that such laws discriminated against African Americans, Latinos, and those of lower income brackets, and two, insufficient evidence existed that in-person voter fraud is, in fact, as widespread as some individuals continue to claim. So I think the caller is absolutely right. I wish I had a more definitive answer on the numbers, but I think that's something worth continuing.
And Joy, thanks a lot for the call. We're talking right now with Donathan Brown from Ithaca College, talking about President Trump's call for an investigation into what he alleges is widespread voter fraud, perhaps 3 to 5 million votes in the 2016 election. And we go back to our callers. Now we have Larry with us next in Hillsborough. Larry, hi.
Hi there.
What did you want to ask?
It's been it's kind of an observation standpoint. It kind of goes, you know, he's putting this out there, and voter fraud, I think everybody could agree, probably does exist. There may be one or two cases in each state, but not the millions that he's talking about. The other thing, I think he's just using it as a distraction from his executive orders. I mean, you don't hear about, again and again, him signing, you know, and approving the pipeline. You don't hear about him, you know, getting rid of Obamacare, because all you're hearing about is voter fraud, voter fraud, voter fraud. I think it's just distracting the American people. And it's a way for him to try and become equal with the Democrats and this whole Russian scandal that came out.
Larry, thank you for that call. And Larry thinks it's a distraction from other things, perhaps willfully, Larry is saying. And what do you say, Donathan?
There are so many things going on right now with the new administration. You know, I think Larry is correct in so far as some of these things can be understood as distractions from larger issues. So I do not disagree with him on that. But again, you know, one of the things I'm very curious about insofar as this investigation is how this will play out in the long term. Will we see an elevated rise in states who will attempt to pass bills requiring photo identification laws? So, I mean, in the short term and the long term, there are a lot of ideas to be pounced around. There are a lot of things to wait for. But I agree with Larry. There are so many things going on, and this can easily be perceived as a distraction.
And, Donathan, in our last 30 seconds or so, you mentioned voter ID laws. A number of states are in the process of putting these on the books, including Wisconsin this time around. Could an investigation like this yield something like a national voter ID law?
I'm not too certain about that, particularly with recent court decisions that I mentioned in both Texas and North Carolina. One of the things that I am fearful about is as the Voting Rights Act was struck down as it was in that manner, how we will begin to regain voting rights. How will we begin to address accessing the ballot for people all across the country? So, again, it's one of my concerns, and I hope it plays out well.
Donathan, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
That was Donathan Brown, associate professor in the Department of Communications at Ithaca College, also the author of Voting Rights Under Fire. He joined us today to talk about President Trump's call for an investigation into what the president believes was widespread voter fraud in the 2016 election, a claim that has been widely debunked.
Coming up tomorrow here on Central Time, it's our weekly Wisconsin News Roundup. We'll check out Governor Walker's latest announcements about public assistance and other top stories.
We'll hear about a project in Brown County that teaches teens about jobs and businesses by running a farmers market program.
And on Food Friday, eggs. We eat a lot of them. They can get boring. Our guest will zest up our egg recipes.
That's all coming up tomorrow on Central Time.
Weekday mornings from 6 to 9, it's the Joy Cardine Show. Tomorrow after 7, Donald Trump is withdrawing the United States from the Trans-Pacific Partnership, and more changes in trade policy are expected. Joy gets two perspectives on the issue tomorrow morning after 7 here on the Ideas Network.
Coming up next, it's the news from NPR and WPR, and then a look at an audit that indicates the Wisconsin Department of Transportation significantly underestimated the real costs of several highway projects. We'll find out how this could impact transportation infrastructure and the taxpayer. I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Farah. This is Central Time here on the Ideas Network.